Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Hi, listeners. Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I wanted to make sure you all listened to the July 31st episode with Stephen Davis, the founder of the Nikki Watch technology. As you would have heard, he has been so generous as to gift a watch to one of my listeners. So you'll want to be sure to get into this amazing drawing. If you'd like to enter to win a free Nikki watch, you'll need to follow and like my podcast and email me your name and phone number to limeandbeyondwithtanya@gmail.com. Be sure and enter as you may just be the lucky winner. I will be doing the drawing on my September 11th episode. So be sure to listen in and see if I announce your name. As always, thank you so much for being such dedicated listeners. It's your support that allows me to continue to produce these episodes full of hope and inspiration. I am so excited to have this next guest today because not only are we going to hear about her, you know, her personal Lyme journey, we're also going to kind of dive deep into the things that she's doing now and the organizations that she's involved in. And I just really think that it can be a great way to share with the listeners that, you know, I talk a lot about how the other side of Lyme is amazing, right? But during our journey, we can't always see that. And so when I can share with you guys these guests that talk about the influence that they're having in the Lyme community, I just really think it speaks volumes to why we're doing what we do. Like the impact that this journey has made on us has been a great impression, right? And we need sometimes to have that reminder when we're having our deepest, darkest days. So my next guest is Kinsey Vath, and she's the founder of Holistic Umbrella, which of course we'll talk about towards the end of the show as well, again, like with all the things that she's doing. So I'm so excited to welcome you to the show, Kinsey. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tanya, for having me. I'm very excited to be here as well.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So do you know where we need to start? Where does your journey start? How far back do we go?
Well, it's
a loaded question, right? Sometimes we never know.
It's a loaded question for sure. And unfortunately, the majority of my life, Lyme has been part of my journey. I didn't know it for most of the time, like many of us out there. But it started really young. I started to experience symptoms right around 9 or 10 years old. And it was development years for me. And I realized later on it all was parallel to Lyme. My parents noticed I was getting sick pretty frequently. I was having learning disabilities. I was complaining about knee pain, and the doctors just kept pushing, you know, these ridiculous allocation or of just, you know, it's growing pains. She's a dramatic teenager.
I was just going to say, they're probably an attention seeker, right?
Yes. And I was the only girl, of course, the youngest in my family. And it was an automatic, like, labeling me as that child. And my parents didn't know what to do besides believe the doctors that were telling them that I had, you know, I didn't really have any issues, but maybe some anxiety or I was trying to get out of school or whatnot, and or a weak immune system. I really struggled a lot with getting sick pretty constantly and frequently. I did have a pretty weak immune system, come to find out, but it was really linked to Lyme. And I was having a lot of neurological Lyme issues, which caused a lot of issues with my development, as I mentioned. So the the struggle really started early on in my life, and I realized that I had to live a pretty different life comparative to most of the younger kids that I was around. I'd show up late for school. I was doing like additional kind of learning classes. I came from just a little background. I came from really, you know, successful parents. My mom was an educator. You know, they were founders of schools. So to kind of be behind in an educational sense was kind of not the norm in our family. If anything, we were trying to push to excel. And I just couldn't even keep up with the standard, you know, standard attention span in class, even just slower to read and slower to learn and retain information.
And that just alone had to have been hard, right? As being a young girl, watching her, you know, friends and peers doing all these things and you can't, and struggling in school, looking at your parents, you know, I'm assuming are pushing you to do better, right? And you're like, why am I not better? Why am I not going to be super smart like they are? Like, what's wrong with me? And I could just imagine the toll that it took on kind of your psyche at that young age.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, I think that's one of the bigger issues with Lyme is the mental health piece that comes along with it. Because so many people don't get their diagnosis right away, they start to question their own self and think, wait, maybe something isn't wrong. Maybe it is in my head. Or they start to think maybe they are severely depressed or have severe anxiety, or this just unknown and disconnect from themselves. And that's probably one of the biggest fears and one of the biggest challenges I think I had. The physical stuff to me, looking back, yeah, it was challenging, but I could live with pain the rest of my life. I couldn't live with thinking that nothing was wrong with me or that my anxiety was normal. That was really difficult to communicate to my friends for them to understand, and even more importantly to my family for them to understand. When I received my diagnosis, and it was about 10 years later when I received it, it was a godly, you know, happenstance that we connected with Dr. Dino Pratt, who ran Invita Medical Center, at an event my parents attend quite frequently. I never really go to these events. I happened to go because I liked medical stuff. I was doing a lot of self-research at the time. I went and he spoke about Lyme disease and he listed every single one of my symptoms that I was dealing with. And my mom and I, we just started crying. We were just sitting there and I looked at her, she looked at me, and we knew exactly what I had without even getting a test. I just knew. So we went up to him afterward. We spoke to him. I went to Invita and got tested, did a 3-day intensive. They took hair, blood, you know, urine, everything, you know, they take it all. do an intense test. And yeah, they called me up and they said, yeah, your daughter has Lyme. She's positive for like 6 of the co-infections at that time. Rocky Mountain spotted fever was one of them. And I've never been to the Rockies, but that was come to find out, we learned that these ticks carry so many, you know, infections within them. So I was, you know, I had multiple infections. I was positive for Epstein-Barr. I had high levels of mercury and lead. So I also had, you know, heavy metal toxicity. So it was shocking to them that I was even functioning at the level that I was for that time. So my mom and I made a decision. That was right before I entered college. So going back to the beginning, I struggled all the way from middle school to through high school with this issue, and getting diagnosed my senior year, at the end of my senior year of high school. Wow. It was pure torture going through school as a child.
I could only imagine. And, you know, like you said, it's, and that's kind of why my podcast is called Lyme and Beyond, right? Because it's not just Lyme. It's not just the co-infections. It's the Epstein-Barr. It's the mold. It's the mercury poisoning. It's, you know, the histamine, just everything, right? There's just so much. And it's interesting that you brought up the mercury poisoning, because that was one of the first things that they said was wrong with me. Was I had mercury poisoning, because I didn't have many diagnoses. I think mercury poisoning and fibromyalgia were that, and then you were crazy, were my initial diagnosis. But it's interesting how many people have that metal toxicity load as well when they go through this journey. And a lot of doctors, you know, kind of miss out on that piece of the puzzle too.
Yeah, I think some of the Lyme patients that I've been exposed to, especially the ones that show more severe symptoms, I do think there is a constitutional profile to that individual that may be partially genetic and partially just in, you know, environmental, where their body does have a harder time detoxing. It does collect a lot more susceptibility to heavy metals, maybe susceptible or sensitive to mold, or have, you know, collection of parasites. And those constitutions specifically, I think, struggle more with Lyme when they get infected. And so it's like the perfect storm, so to speak, where the body starts to really react. Then you have the individuals who get infected. They show signs right away, and some that have no sign, right, that they've been infected by Lyme. So that's what's so terrifying about this disease, is it's so inconsistent in the beginning, right, for an individual. And many people don't know they have it until, what I say is, just too late to treat. You can eradicate it quickly with antibiotic treatment right away if you are knowledgeable and aware and educated what Lyme disease is, and you know when you've been, you know, infected, you see the bullseye, you have, you know, flu-like symptoms, and you treat it with 3 weeks of doxy, you can eradicate. But where we have enough research now, and thankfully, you know, we're getting more backing from professional institutions that are saying there is such thing as chronic Lyme, and what you've dealt with, what I've dealt with, and what hundreds of thousands of people have dealt with and will continue to deal with, is this chronic Lyme. Yeah. And so one of my biggest missions is really about getting education to the forefront and getting people to be aware of Lyme disease so that they're being preventative, because I don't want other people to go through what I went through, not knowing for 10 years of my life that I had this illness with Lyme. So I think that's very important to the mission for me. And secondarily, the next 10 years of my life, once I got the label, or so to speak, got the diagnosis, there was a relief immediately when I got my diagnosis, but I had no idea how challenging that process would be. And 10 years of treatment, I think, almost killed me more physically and partially mentally, but very physically, than the 10 years prior, right?
Yeah.
So I was really struggling with the options at the time. This was 2008, 2009, when I got my diagnosis, and there wasn't a lot of options out there. There weren't many doctors. I'm located in Southern California. It didn't, like, quote unquote, exist here, which we know is completely false.
Interesting enough, I got my tick bite in California, just saying.
God, I love it. Good shout out. Yes. I mean, I have people text me all the time. Kenzie, is this a tick? Kenzie, is this a bullseye? And they live in California. And I'm like, yes, that is. Yes, that is. And it's yeah, just crazy to me that we just don't have accurate reporting.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. And that's just one of the reasons why I do this show, and probably many of the reasons why you do everything that you do, is we've got to spread awareness, right? If that gentleman at Invita was not talking about Lyme disease, spreading the awareness about it, you know, you could be searching for your diagnosis, right? Like, we have to have our voices heard. We have to shout it out to the rooftops, right? Like, my tick, I got bit in my front yard. in California, right? And these doctors are like, it doesn't exist over on the West Coast. Well, I'm living proof that it did, right? And I'm one of the very low percentage of people that had the bullseye rash. The problem was I didn't know what it meant, right? Like, and then even when I found out years later that I had, you know, 7 years that I had Lyme disease, like Lyme disease, isn't that like what dogs get? Like, I didn't even know it was a human thing. And really, it's kind of sad that we can go about life so just oblivious to this and be so uneducated on what is really a huge thing, right? Because yeah. I think that there are hundreds of thousands of people walking around infected with Lyme disease, but their immune system is good and they're symptom free. I really think so. And yeah. I think that going through COVID kind of pointed that out, because a lot of people thought they had this long haul COVID, right? No, come to find out they have Lyme disease. Well, I guarantee you had it before COVID, right? COVID brought it out in your body. And it's just interesting how everything works out like that. But anyway, so not to take away from your story. So you get your diagnosis after all this time, and you kind of didn't know what route you wanted to go, right? Like that was where I was at too. So what kind of were your options, or what was going through your head, and what made you make the decision you made?
Yeah, I appreciate that question. You know, I felt like I only had one option, and it was to pick up everything and move to Arizona to get treatment at Invita. At the time, I was going to Chapman College because I got into Chapman. So I stayed home for the summer and started my first semester at Chapman, and I couldn't even make it through class. I kept calling my mom, just saying, I can't focus. I can't concentrate. I'm having these stomach issues. I'm having like debilitating anxiety. And she said, okay, we got to go get treatment. We got to just make this decision. So we ended up, my mom, my dog, June, at the time, and a trailer, and just drove to Arizona and lived there for 3 months. During that time, I had PICC line inserted. I did high-dose IV antibiotics. I did OxyBosh, where they like oxygenate. They take it out of your body. They oxygenate your blood. They put it back in to help kill infection, basically doing ozone therapy with your blood. I did high-dose vitamin C, which is actually pretty painful. Hydrogen peroxide IVs, which were a little bit more experimental at the time. And a ton of supplements. I mean, it was a joke. I could swim in baths of supplements. I couldn't even get food down because I was taking so many supplements. I couldn't eat anything. I was just full of supplements and potions and powders.
And the water to swallow it down, right? Yeah. I remember those days. I'm like, I'm so full. You can't put food in me right now.
No, it was awful. I got very sick to the point where I was having massive herxes. I couldn't walk. I remember one day I was at Mass with my parents. My dad came to visit me just for a weekend, and I couldn't get up to get communion. I was paralyzed. And supposedly that was part of the herxing reaction. I literally thought I wasn't going to walk again. So my dad like had to carry me out of church, which was very scary. I just bursted out in tears. And people were staring at me. It was very uncomfortable. You know, we didn't live in Arizona. I wanted to be home. I was still like, I felt like still a kid. My mom was bathing me in my 20s. You know, it felt very, again, disassociated with my body and to myself. Just a really dark, negative time. I had to do a lot of therapy and just reset my neural pathways and thinking post-treatment, just to get myself to kind of normalize in a normal thinking pattern.
Yeah. And, you know, to talk about your incident that happened in church, here you are in treatment, right? We're supposed to be getting better.
Yeah.
And then here's the perfect time to second guess what you're doing. I'm not getting better if I can't physically walk right now, right? And that is part of the struggle, is people don't know what's working, right? We say that you have to get a little bit worse before you get better, you know, two steps forward, one step back kind of thing. So that too is a struggle. And again, it really takes a toll on our mental health. And I believe that that is a key component to either getting well or staying well. And I say it all the time. I swear I sound like a broken record. But it's such a huge piece of it, because Lyme is like an onion. There's so many layers to it. And I think that repairing that mental health, that emotional trauma that we went through, is huge. Huge. Just as huge as it is to kill and detox. It just is. Yeah.
Like I said earlier, I think that was probably the hardest part of the journey, was the mental health battle and fighting the depression and the anxiety and the disassociation of self and body and who I was and what was going on with me, and just missing out, right, on life. That was much harder process than dealing with the physical. The physical, I was pretty strong as a person. So I was like, okay, I'm going to get through this. I didn't like think I was like, you know, this was it, right? But there were definitely times that I got so low and so depressed. I talk a little bit about it in my book. When I share my story, I do talk about, you know, my battle with depression to a point of being suicidal. It was a very dark time, and this was prior to my diagnosis. But looking back again, so much of my mental health struggle during my teens was all related to my Lyme journey. And that's so unfortunate, because I would have had such a more productive teenage life if I understood that there was something going on with my body, and I was my own advocate, and I was educated about what was going on. And that's something, as a mother, I want to educate my kids. Like, you need to tell me what's going on and how you're feeling and what is this making you feel, and utilizing those words and being an advocate for your own health. I think you mentioned it earlier too. You know, you went to these doctors and they told you there's no Lyme in California. Well, you know, they're wrong, unfortunately, because they're uneducated about the situation. And the truth is, we have to be our own advocates. And if we're not, when it comes to health, we won't be successful in getting better. America does emergency medicine very well, but it does not do preventative very well. And so being our own advocates and being preventative and doing the right things for our body, each one individual, is going to get us to a place of a longer and healthier lifestyle.
Absolutely. Perfectly said. And, you know, it was also, I'm kind of picking up on all these different pieces of how our stories are kind of similar, because you mentioned, you know, you were in a very dark place. And I think that it's important to kind of touch on this, because, you know, it just was last week that there was another, you know, Lyme warrior out there that lost her battle. And it's heartbreaking. And me coming from a person who's just, I mean, I'm a total social butterfly, right? Like, always in a good mood, very outgoing. Every day is a great day, to being suicidal, right? And my darkest time was like what you just said. I didn't even have a diagnosis. And kind of looking back, like, it makes more sense. I said to myself, if nothing's wrong with me, right? According to the doctors, nothing is wrong with me. I can't get well. If I can't get well, I'm going to live like this. And I had so much pain and anxiety and brain fog and like just all this stuff. I'm like, I can't do that, right? And at that time, in fact, even after I reached, I struggled with sharing that part of my journey, because I was very shameful. I was embarrassed that I wasn't strong enough to not have those thoughts. And that is not at all the case, right? And, you know, a funny part of it, I guess, when the doctors say it's all in your head, well, actually, it kind of is, right? Like the Lyme is in our head. It's messing with our thoughts and stuff. And that is part of the journey. And so I just say to you, you know, if you're having a rough day today, like I promise you, there's ways to get through it, right? There's ways to get through it. And it's so worth battling that journey. And so I know it's hard to talk about. So I appreciate you bringing that up.
No, and I love that you said that, because it's so true. For the average person, vulnerability is not, you know, comfortable. We've learned in our society to not share those darkest times, you know, and darkest points in our life, especially for the type of person like you're describing, someone who's so outgoing and someone who, you know, is successful or working or career driven or, you know, trying to go with the flow. Like as a high schooler, right? You're just trying to fit in. You just want to be liked, and you want to be like everybody else. And the truth is, all of us are unique and all of us are different, and we don't know what everyone is going through and their experiences. And sometimes as humans, we need to be a little bit more patient with someone's response or with someone's, you know, unique quirks. Or like at that time in school, I started to become very introverted. But like you, I was such an extroverted kid. I mean, I'm a Leo. Like I was, you know, I love people. I thrive off energy through people. I get my best inspiration from people. I love color. I love, you know, all those things. And I saw none of that when at my lowest point. All of it was disappeared. And to your point as well, I think that darkest depression is the validation of losing hope. And so when I got to a place where I could muster up just enough energy to help others, that's when I became more hopeful, because I realized I had to be the beacon of hope for other people who were even struggling worse than I was. Because I was in the realization that, or my realization was, I was struggling, like I was going through it the worst. Like I had the worst experience, and I felt bad for myself. And I realized, like, Kenz, like there are people that are much worse, and you are so fortunate to be where you're at in your journey with just enough energy to get around, not paralyzed, you know, not broke, not still alive, still having a chance to breathe the next day, right? And yeah. So I decided to switch gears and stop pitying myself and get strong by helping others. And I think that's been a huge piece of the mental journey. It's obviously the physical, there's a lot of work to do, but I think through the mental healing, it's been connecting with other people, giving them hope, and especially getting involved in the nonprofit space. You mentioned you wanted me to talk a little bit about that work that I'm doing. Two of the biggest projects in
actually, can I pause you right there? Sorry, because I want to touch on a couple of things that you brought up. Yeah. So one, when you said that, you know, it was you wanted to give back to the community, and that was kind of what gave you that hope, right? That filled your cup full by giving back. And that was in my journey, that was where I discovered my why. Like, why do I want to live, right? And so I think that that's a good kind of point to bring up. Whatever it is that's going to get you through that journey, whether it's a why or a mission or a passion or whatever, maybe in your darkest day, right? Like that's a time to kind of stop and analyze and figure out that the answer to that question. And then the other thing I wanted to say is that I have to disagree with something that you just said. Okay. And what it is you said that there are so many other people worse off than me in my journey right now. And yes, maybe physically, but the reason I'm disagreeing is because I tell people, and I truly believe that at one point I was bedridden. I had a caregiver and I didn't know my name. That was pretty miserable, right? And then I see people that are able to walk, but they just have a lot of pain. They just have, you know, they can still work sometimes. They can. I really believe my journey was no tougher than somebody else who only took a year to get diagnosed, right? And that kind of goes back to what we were talking about. I think so much of it is that mental part of it, right? And so I don't ever want people to downplay their journey. Your journey was tough, right? No less tough than the next person, but no more tough either, right? Not great choice of words there. but you know what I mean? Like it's yeah. Our journeys are individual, but they're all bad. They're all bad. They're all miserable. But the other side of the journey is amazing, right? So I just, for the listeners out there, you know, if you're working, have a little support partner that also is going through Lyme and you guys are kind of each other's, you know, sounding boards, that's fantastic. But please just listen to me when I say, don't downplay your illness to somebody else's and don't upplay it to the other person as well. I just think that's a really important thing that I wanted to point out to the listeners for sure.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I don't mean to downplay any one individual or my journey, because I know mine was its unique struggle. My perspective came from the fact that I needed to be hopeful that there was an end, right?
Yes.
And I think the people who make it out of their suffering have to fight for that. And I think it is a mental battle to fight for that, right? And just being hopeful that, okay, I got to get up again. I got to keep doing this. I got to keep fighting for it. Because being complacent and accepting of the disability doesn't get me anywhere.
Nope.
It didn't get me anywhere. I've been there. I was there. I was complacent. I was accepting. And I was like, this is it. And like, this sucks. And it didn't get me anywhere. So I really had to, in the same space too, not downplaying, but knowing that you have to continue to fight and be hopeful is very key to get out of this negative thinking that you're the suffering piece.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. You can't just sit back and just cope. Right.
Right.
You're not going
to
get anywhere if you just cope.
No.
You're not going to get anywhere if you are Lyme disease. Like, you're not going to get anywhere. Right. And so you did what you had to do, and thank goodness you did, right? Like, that's where your mindset was, and this is how I'm going to get through it. And mine was that picking and choosing my why and all that, you know, and it's just all part of our individual journeys. And
I love that.
Yeah.
And people need purpose. That's the truth. People are really simple. They just need purpose.
Yep.
And I think it goes back to your why. Like, it needs to be, why are you living? And each one of us have a purpose, by the way. Each of us do. Even in suffering, you know, I think those who suffer actually really appreciate joy. They really know what joy is and what the value of life is. Like, my perspective on life, at 35 years young is actually pretty advanced for an average 35-year-old, right?
And those are the perks from going through this journey, right? Those are the good things from it.
And so those are the silver lining, and going back to just finding that hope and knowing that I could push through it and I could fight through it. And I wanted to touch on the nonprofit work. So funny enough, as a kid, obviously struggling in school, I really was just told I would, you know, I wasn't very good at English. I was dyslexic. I was terrible at spelling. I could never, you know, get a good grade on an essay, but I loved to write. And I loved to communicate. And I loved that there was something physical and tangible about books. So I always wanted to write a book, and I felt like no one supported me through that. Like, everybody was like, oh, she can't do it. She like flunked English. but there's like spelling stuff out there for you. So words, great.
Right.
So I decided I wanted to write a book as part of my healing journey, but I didn't want it to be about me. I wanted to show a very global perspective of Lyme. So I wrote a book called The Ignored Pandemic, Real Stories of Lyme Disease, and I published it. And it's a collection of stories from Lyme warriors all over the world, all the way from Germany, India, everywhere. It's absolutely beautiful. Australia.
Wow.
It took about 6 months to interview all these individuals. And then at the beginning of the book, I really talk a lot about what Lyme is, right? The educational piece that I was saying is so important to me. So it was a tool for me on my journey when I got diagnosed and I started going through this and my parents started to share with their friends or family, they'd ask, oh, how's Kenzie doing? And what's Kenzie up to? And, you know, they always had to bring me in the conversation. Oh, you know, her Lyme. People started realizing, wait, I think I know somebody with Lyme, or wait, I think my child might have that, or my niece or my nephew or my husband. And they started going to me and asking questions like, hey, can you tell me about this? Or where are good resources? And I thought, okay, I can build this tool for you. So that's what I did. I built this tool. And I really
I love it. I love it.
Beautiful. And I wanted it to come from an expert's perspective. So I did a lot of research. And it was a gift really to the people that helped me, but to the people I knew that were going to come looking for answers online, because it's, you know, people are getting affected, unfortunately, every day. And so I wrote my story in here because I also was a piece of me I wanted to forget and kind of have it saved elsewhere. And I started doing that work for other people to share their story that didn't have the strength maybe to put the book together. So I shared their stories in here. And on top of that, I got involved with the Global Lyme Alliance and I'm a board member with them. And I focus on really the next generation of those that are going to educate and share and drive awareness around Lyme disease to help really move the needle in the government space to get better testing, coverage for insurance, and really support what's to come in the chronic illness space, because I know it's not going to end unless we do something about it. So I've really been excited about the work that I got into, and those two main things, getting involved and writing it out, were huge pieces of my journey, the healing journey in that last phase. So I wanted to share that because I think there's a lot of other ways you can heal than just taking supplements or, you know, working out. Those are all great things for your body, but there's also other ways out there to connect and get involved and find your, you know, your partner that you can share your story with and have a confidant and just know that you're not alone in this journey. And there's people all over the world, internationally, suffering with what you're suffering with. And there's going to be answers out there for you soon. So yeah. I'm really excited about that work.
Oh, that's amazing. And it is true. I know it's hard because it's a kind of the slow battle, right? Like, I mean, in today's generation, everybody wants instant gratification. It doesn't matter what it's for. Like, I think it's just part of human nature anymore, sadly to say. But I know I was talking on another show that, you know, when I got my diagnosis in 2015, so 9 years ago, we have come so far since then in 9 years with, you know, having actual doctors that are not, one, not afraid to treat you to lose their license, two, that they actually know what they're talking about, right? We have more companies that are getting on board with better testing. Like, it's being acknowledged that, you know, Lyme is real, chronic Lyme is real. And I know that, you know, for those of you out there in the midst of your battle, you probably don't believe what we're telling you, but I promise you it's true. Like, we really have come a long ways. And, you know, that is part of the healing journey too, is being able to give back to this community, like what you're doing, and knowing that we're making a difference too, right? Like, we can't let our journey go in vain. Like, we gained all this information. We had to become our own advocate. We need to share it. We need to have our voices heard, right? Because that's what's going to get us where we need to be. So that my only little piece I'm still missing is writing a book, right? All these people have written these books, and I love the theory behind yours of kind of the conglomeration of different short stories of people's journeys. Like that's brilliant. That's amazing. I love it. So we will be sure to put the title of your book into the title of your episode so people can check that out.
Lovely. Yeah. And I think you hit on the biggest point is no change is going to happen without the noise of the masses. And so the more people that come out and share their story and educate others, no matter how hard that might be, it is going to make a difference. It's going to save someone's life. It's going to change someone's life. Yeah. And it's going to, you know, it's going to make movements for a whole population that still lives in suffering in many ways. Behind some serious red tape in many countries. And it was amazing to me when I started to reach out to these individuals and getting their stories, even how hard they had, how hard it was for them to get access about knowledge to Lyme. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was able to gain access. I had to work for it. Like I had to start diving deeper and trying experimental things, but some countries totally ban, you know, resources on it. And I just think that's terrible. So I really wanted to put something together that people could really utilize as a tool to help guide them on their journey.
Yes, that's amazing. And, you know, not just blocking information. I was chatting with a lady from South Africa the other day, and just the red tape of trying to ship in herbal supplements for her.
Yes.
Like, you know, she can't find anybody that will believe her or treat her over there. They don't know anything. And then all of her supplements she tries to order get stopped at the border. Like, changes need to be made, and they're not going to be made unless people like you, Kenzie, and myself, who are outgoing, right? Like, we have a big voice. We're going to share it, and we're going to speak it, and we're going to preach it, because that's what it's going to take. Like, nothing worth having comes easy, right? And so it's a journey for sure. And I just love when I hear of people who have beaten Lyme disease and then they just do nothing but give back themselves into the Lyme community. It just warms my soul.
I know, it's amazing. There's so many amazing people out there, and most of the amazing people have gone through some type of suffering to get to a place where they, like I said, they've gotten that pure joy. And thank you for creating space to allow people to share their stories and really, you know, find healing in this process too, right? To connect with someone else that understands them and a deep part of their soul. Like, there's not many people out there that would understand what I've gone through. And I love that there are more people like you, Tanya, that are making space to make connection, authentic connection with people.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. And I just think it's, you know, I say all the time, it takes a village, and it just does, you know, whether you're well, you're still going through the journey like you were. I don't know how you had that strength. Kudos to you, right? You're in the middle of your journey and you still just want to give back to people. So whenever it is, whenever we decide, you know, we want the listeners out there, we want you well, because we want you on this journey with us. We want to have your voice with us, because that will get us where we need to be faster. And that's all we want, because there's too many lives lost, there's too many years lost, too much suffering with this illness, right? And so we just want to help find solutions for it. So
I love that. And there's a lot of resources too. With the Global Lyme Alliance, we fund research for Lyme disease, and we have a ton of research on our website and the progress that we've made thus far. So I highly recommend people go check that out. There's so many Lyme advocacy organizations out there, and this one just spoke to me because of the changes we wanted to make in the space for the community. And then, yeah, please check out the Ignored Pandemic, Real Stories of Lyme Disease. It's a great resource for just kind of a Lyme 101. Plus, I have a fun, unique thing on the back where you get to add your story. There's a QR code where you can include your story, and you can also download my playlist on Spotify, because I feel like music was also a major thing for the majority of people trying to heal. They lean on music to get through their journey. So I had everybody provide me with one of their favorite songs during their Lyme journey. And so it's an eclectic mix of music and connection through everyone's Lyme journey.
That is amazing. I love that. So even though the book is published, right, they can go on and add their own journey. And then, yes, music, I mean, it's good for our soul. Sick, yeah. Well, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's was definitely part of my journey too. You know, once, of course, I got past that little neurological part of it, right, like where I couldn't even have sounds or hear sounds, right? But wherever you are, when you get to that part of your journey where you can hear music, like, it truly is healing for the soul. And so yeah. I know you talked about the Global Lyme Alignments. What is the holistic umbrella that you founded? Yeah. What falls under that category?
So when I was going to school, I always wanted to own my own company. I come from entrepreneurs, so I come from more corporate business background. I got educated in holistic medicine. I studied everything from ancient Chinese medicine to herbal Ayurvedic medicine. And so I started my own company, Holistic Umbrella, which was really focused around coaching and helping those suffering with chronic illness or kind of undiagnosed or mystery illnesses. Sometimes it may have been like food allergies or other things like
right.
that. And I was focused on coaching, and I realized that I needed to focus really on facilitating an environment of education and awareness around Lyme. And I really wanted to get in the nonprofit space and not kind of do the for-profit. So I pivoted a Holistic Umbrella to be a platform for advocacy, for Lyme advocacy. And currently today, it's kind of where I run like all of my book stuff, all my donations to Lyme. My platform is all about educating people who are suffering with chronic illness, specifically Lyme disease. And yeah, it's a place you can find me to just kind of see who I am, the real self of me. I have a full-time job. I'm involved in multiple nonprofits, and I have 3 kids that are under the age of 5. So I'm a busy, busy woman trying to do so many things, but I think advocacy work is the most fulfilling on top of being a mom, of course, but is the most fulfilling to me. And that's kind of the platform where I do my advocacy work.
That's amazing. And 3 kids under 5. Wow. I'm tired just listening to that. That's incredible. But it just speaks volumes, you know, to the listeners out there about how truly this illness, I mean, there's so many positive things to it. Like you said, there's so many silver linings to it, right? And man, when we're in that journey, we just don't see it. We just don't feel it. But time and time again, I have a guest on my show that says it, right? So eventually these listeners out there are going to start believing us, right? And it just really shows when, you know, I have somebody like you on the show that just talks about the advocacy and how to get the word out there. And their mission is to spread the word on this horrible disease. Like, truly, right. That is what means everything to me. You know, when I get that random phone call from somebody that I haven't talked to in years, right? But we're connected through Facebook or social media. And they're like, hey, so-and-so just got diagnosed with Lyme and you were the first person I thought of to call. Can I share your number? Like, it truly melts my heart because my voice is being heard, right? People know that Lyme disease kind of goes with Tanya, right? Whatever it takes. And so I just appreciate you truly from the bottom of my heart of what you're doing. I love how you switched from that coaching aspect to that advocacy aspect, right? It's just amazing, and not many hearts can do that. So you are much appreciated.
Thank you. Yeah, and I also want to be totally vulnerable and transparent to say, like, even though I'm doing all these things, I still have days that I struggle. And there are days where I get up and I'm exhausted and I'm fighting through the fatigue. But I again, like all these Lyme warriors, I have to fight. I have to push through that. So I am driven by purpose. I am driven by the why. And I'm driven by the people that need help and the advocacy work out there. I'm driven by them. So I appreciate everybody that, you know, comes to you, comes to me asking and seeking help. That's what gets me out of bed and keeps going are all those people. So thank you for sharing that too.
I love that. Well, it's been amazing. So all over your title, we're going to have the name of your book, the nonprofit, the global, all the information you have, we'll have links available there so the listeners can check you out and follow you and see who you are and what you're doing and be able to share their story in your book and take advantage of the amazing music you have on there. So that's incredible. What a great tool to have. So thank you so much, Kenzie.
Thank you, Tanya. I appreciate the time.
I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the about of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.